Song of Mary, often known as the Magnificat, from the Latin, for my soul magnifies. We always love to hear it. We don't often pay much attention to what it actually says. It actually follows a pretty traditional Hebrew structure, as it begins with an acclamation of my own praise to God and my own thanksgiving for God's work in my life. And then it moves to God's work in the sweep of the life of the nation. And then finally it circles back to how that then is a blessing to me. But it begins very personally. My soul magnifies the Lord, not our soul. My soul, Mary says. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. This is all first person singular. She very much applies this to herself. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Not on the lowliness of his people or his nation, but the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. God's work always begins with individuals. God works through people and regular people. God does not just work in the grand sweep of history. And when we can trace the work of God through the grand sweep of history, it is always through individual people who, like Mary, are willing to say, "Let it be with me according to your word." Who are willing to be those submissive disciples that take on the call that he places on us, in spite of what troubles or dangers it may entail. The work of God, the blessing of God, the redemption of God is always personal. And if it's not personal, I have to wonder if it's really of God. The people of Israel begin not with a nation, but with Abraham, an individual who is called to a new place and to a new life. And then to Isaac and Jacob. Salvation from the famine in the land came through Joseph. The deliverance from Egypt comes through Moses. God works through individuals. And now Mary has come to understand that God doesn't just work through those great people of history, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and on, but through regular people. We don't have to be born anything special to be the instruments of God in history. We don't have to be born with royal lineage. We don't have to be born with an IQ of 160. We don't have to be born with great looks or perfect health. Moses was a stutterer, apparently. Paul also had some kind of a speech impediment. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to look the way the world thinks we should look. We don't have to have power or influence. What we have to have is that same thing that Mary had and that all these other ones had. Let it be with me according to your word. The work of God today continues to be in and through and for and with individuals, regular people like you and me. You may look at your life and you may not see much that seems of great significance. You don't have political power. You don't have great authority in the world. You don't have thousands of people watching your YouTube videos every week. You don't have people listening and hanging on every word that comes out of your mouth. But let me tell you, you don't know the place that you may have in the plans of God, either for you or for others who you may touch. And beyond that, there's a, I guess, kind of a false humility about this idea that somehow it only matters to God if it's big and impacts millions of people or something. We seem to carry this silly idea. We forget that each one of us, each one, is of infinite importance to God. We are not only important when we impact millions of other people. We are important because God loves each and every one. Each one of us is of infinite importance. Mary came to see that. She recognized that she was significant. She was a lowly servant, but in the eyes of God, in the eyes of His mercy, she was important. She mattered. And she took joy in that, and she rejoiced in that, and it caused her to praise God. Now, we should remember what exactly it is that she was praising God for, because at this point, she doesn't know how this is all going to come out. She hasn't seen the end game yet. You know, she's still pregnant at this time. She hasn't even given birth and heard the angels singing. This is very, very early in all this. And she calls it a great thing. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. And holy is His name. Now, let's just remind ourselves of what this great thing is. This is a little 13, 14-year-old girl in a backwater village in an insignificant country in a distant corner of the Roman Empire. And all of a sudden, she's betrothed to an older gentleman, an established businessman in the community named Joseph. And suddenly she turns out pregnant. That was not a good thing. That was not seen favorably. Nowadays, we've become rather accustomed to unmarried women becoming pregnant and having children. But even when I was young, I had a cousin who became pregnant at 16 years old, and she was shipped off to Canada to have the baby and give it up for adoption. That was only 40 years ago. But back in this time, Joseph would have been within his rights to ask for her to be stoned to death for having turned up pregnant. And then to compound it, she starts telling people, oh, this is a child of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, they may not have understood all the science of conception and pregnancy and all of that, but they knew how it worked. They knew women just don't show up pregnant all of a sudden. Doesn't work like that. And so they look at her, right. And what do we all tell our kids? If you make a mistake, don't compound it by lying about it. Right? Isn't that what we tell them? Can you picture the conversations between Mary and her parents and Joseph and his family and all that? To be frank, I think the reason she went to visit Elizabeth was to get out of town, to not have to listen to the snickers and the comments and the tisk, tisk, tisk and the finger point, to just get away from all that for a little while, not unlike my cousin going to Canada. But yet in the midst of her difficult circumstances, not knowing if this marriage that was arranged for her was going to go through, not knowing what the rest of her life might entail, having had a child out of wedlock. In the midst of all of that, she still celebrated God's work in her life. She didn't allow her judgment of her circumstances to cloud her understanding that God was at work. She was willing to celebrate what God was doing, even though it looked like it was going to be very difficult. And in fact, when we look at the rest of the story, watch her son grow up and then get involved in this ministry and finally be rejected by his own people and hung on a cross. That is a hard path for a mother to walk. A very painful path. This child was great pain for her. But she knows in the end that there is nothing better and nothing more important than being in the will of God. The circumstances, those come and go. The looks and the tisk-tisk and the sneers and the snickers, those come and go. Now, can we find ourselves there? Can we come to that place where we can so set aside what we think others might think and simply be confident and joyful in the knowledge that we are doing what God has called us to do? That's really the example that Mary sets before us. And she celebrates it in her song. She celebrates it in her life. And then she moved on, and she looks at the way that God has worked in history. This is never just isolated. We can always place ourselves in the great stream of God's work among his people. And God's work, remember, in this great sweep of history is always for the benefit of individuals, for the benefit of regular people. If it is of God, it always comes down to people, to regular folks like you and me. It doesn't just benefit the high and mighty. In fact, you remember what it says? It says, for the powerful have been brought down, the lowly have been raised up, the hungry are fed, and the rich are sent away, what? Empty. Turns the economy of this world on its head for his servants. Can we own that? Can we see that? Can we grasp it like Mary did? Can we celebrate like Mary did that God is at work in us and through us and for us and around us, even when the circumstances don't look great, even when it looks difficult, even when life is painful, even when we don't know if it's going to work out the way we plan, even if we don't know what's coming? That's the example that Mary set for us. That's the example that is before us. Mary celebrates the joy of being within the will of God, regardless of the circumstances.